This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
Atlanta United are brought to you by Piedmont Quick Care. One stop to better. Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Heineken, Aaron's, the perfect choice for your budget and style with top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Scana, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. AT&T, more for your thing. That's our thing. Associated Credit Union, Equifax, proud partner of your Atlanta United and your local Ford dealer.
The home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, that is the Atlanta United that we have come to know and love over the last 3 years. Dominating in terms of chances created tonight. All but 10 minutes of the match, they outplayed New England on the road. And not only does Atlanta United get their first win of 2019 in league play, but they do so on the road. They get a clean sheet. All the boxes you can check off in favor of Atlanta United tonight. They take it 2-0. The one downer is the injury to Eric Rometty, and all we know is that it is a head injury. 15 seconds into the match, he was kind of clattered into from behind by Luis Caicedo. Caicedo hit the back of Rometty's head. He came off. He did return to the match. But after about 10 minutes, Rometty took himself out. So that's the one downer. But it allowed for the introduction of Ezequiel Barco, who scored twice. And he is our man of the match, brought to you by Heineken. If Barco goes on to score, say, 15, 16 goals this year, maybe even more, we'll look back on tonight as the night where it really got rolling for Barco.
Oh, if he scores that many goals, you're going to have a lot of people come into town to seek out Ezequiel Barco.
Well, I'm glad you put it that way, because I think there's been this misperception that his job is to score 15 or 16 goals. His job is to really give you 15 or 16 assists.
He has scored more goals for Atlanta United than he scored in his career at Independiente. He's not the big goal scorer that I think sometimes people equate dollars spent on a player for how many goals they should score. That's not his role. He is capable of the spectacular, and he showed it tonight. He also showed a lot of hard work tonight, and I think that's one of the things that it came down to. Not so much that he hasn't been working this season, but this was a match that was going to call for hard work because of the way New England plays. Makes total sense to play Jeff Lorenowitz and Eric Rometty from the start. You need to win that second ball. You need bodies in that part of the field. Ezequiel Barco was the odd man out. Things change. He gets the opportunity, and he absolutely made the most of it.
Not only did he score twice tonight, but he also drew four fouls, which is another thing that Barco has been exceptional at in his brief MLS career. So Ezequiel Barco is our man of the match, brought to you by Heineken, and I'm sure Ezequiel looks forward to the day when he can legally drink a Heineken in the United States of America. As we look at the final stats from Opta, here's what's really encouraging. 19 shots for Atlanta United, 8 on target. New England with only 7 shots, 1 on target. They were held to just 1 shot on target in the second half. Atlanta United ended up controlling possession of the two. Well, no, actually, New England controlled possession 53-47. That is a reverse from what we saw at halftime. One interesting stat, you can probably speak to this, is the passing accuracy. Atlanta United had only 71% tonight. I know some people will probably hear that and wonder what happened, but I think that speaks to the way that New England plays. And it's like we talked about during the break. I think the instruction from Brad Friedel is, okay, guys, just chase the ball.
In the first half, Atlanta was a little sloppy in possession, and the number being so low there worries you, although New England's pressure did have a big impact on it. In the second half, Atlanta, especially after that second goal, they were able to take some chances with their long passes, and they were able to try to go long And if it doesn't come off, it doesn't come off, because New England wasn't doing anything to hurt you. One shot on goal all night.
Atlanta United with five corners to New England's three. The other stat that really jumps off the page to me, and I just tweeted this at Mike Conti 929, 13 shots inside the box for Atlanta United tonight, which is by far a season high across all competitions. And Atlanta United also outchanced New England 16-8. The chances created also a season high for Atlanta United.
Yeah, that's something we had not been seeing this season, is the shots inside the 18. Atlanta United able to create those opportunities tonight in a variety of different ways. Crosses from the corners, also the through ball, the long through ball that we've seen Atlanta United score on so many times. Look, Joseph Martinez doesn't get a goal tonight. He was dangerous throughout the evening, had a lot of opportunities, made New England have to respect him. Andrew Farrell did a great job tonight.
He did.
And more often than not, Joseph's going to have a goal or two in a night like this.
Well, we've got plenty more to come on the full-time report. Make sure you send us your questions and your feedback right now. We're getting a lot on Twitter. We'd love a lot more at Mike Conti 929 and at Longshoe. We will have the highlights. I know a lot of you want to hear that Barco Golazo. We'll have that for you. And all the other highlights right after this as Atlanta United wins it tonight over New England Revolution 2-0 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Full-time report here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, Atlanta United's back. The Atlanta United we've come to know and love. 2-0 winners over New England Revolution tonight. And we're in New England, so you got to hear Dropkick Murphys.
They were looking for trouble tonight, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. As we expected, New England second in MLS in fouls committed coming into tonight. Atlanta United answered the challenge, dominated the first half hour of play, and then two goals by Barco gave them the 2-0 win. I know a lot of you have tweeted us wanting to hear the goal calls, so ask and you shall receive. Here are the highlights. Now, remember that when Barco scored this goal in the 29th minute, Atlanta United had two apparent goals cleared off the line, and then a third chance by Joseph Martinez where he just barely got a touch on it and was unable to convert. So it was with that in the background that Atlanta United finally broke through. Tino Villalba playing it to Ezequiel Barco for the opening goal of the game. Shea throws it into Joseph, who volleys it on to Tino now on the left attacking third. Tito dribbling to the edge of the 18, has space at the end line. Tito dribbling, and it's dropped! Score! Barco! And for the first time all year across all competitions, Atlanta United has a lead on the road. Great team goal by Atlanta United.
Great work. Great work. And again, Barco created the whole sequence at the beginning of it that led to a chance before that. Kept it going, and you get the goal. Joseph Martinez draws all the attention there, and Ezequiel Barco with the late run to score.
I think you and I were both kind of on the same page, thinking that maybe New England would put their heads down a little bit after the goal. We said at the very beginning of the night the first goal would be very valuable. To New England's credit, the remainder of the first half from that point, they were very good, borderline dominant, and Atlanta United had to hold on for dear life. But as the second half began, Atlanta United put the match away quickly, and I'm really trying to think, in my 1.5 years doing this, if I've seen a goal of similar quality to what Barco gave us tonight on the second. This is the hot play of the match brought to you by Scana. Played into the far corner to Parkhurst, who volleys it nicely over to Villalba in the box, dribbles to the end line, cuts it to the spot. Here's Barco running on from long distance to trap on the far side. Barco, swinger, goal! Golazo! What a goal by Barco! From just outside the 18, he curls it around Cody Cropper to give Atlanta United a 2-0 lead. I'm still laughing because you can hear the fan from outside her booth go, that's why you gave him $14 million. I mean, they give him $14 million. They gave Independiente $14 million.
You know, there could have been a little confusion, liquid confusion at that point of the match.
What a goal, though. Yeah. That's right up there with Tito last year in San Jose from just outside the box. as far as quality that we have seen in a goal. Definitely the best that Barco has scored in his 2 years with Atlanta United.
Oh, what an angle we had. We were right behind it. You could just see the play developing. He cuts inside. Everybody yells about Ezequiel Barco taking shots. That time he takes the little touch and rips it from 20 yards.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. Barco gave an interview this week and translated into English. He did make a remark about how he is aware of how people say that he needs to shoot more. And I think his response was, perhaps that is something I will work on. Well, you certainly got it tonight. Now, Cody Cropper, the New England keeper, made a couple big point blank saves, three or four that I remember off the top of my head, that kept this at a 2-0 scoreline. Brad Guzan made a big save himself in the second half to preserve the clean sheet. Caldwell up to Fagundes. Into the attacking third, they go now to Caicedo. Top of the 18, Bunbury. Working on Robinson, over to Buchanan, right side of the box. A shot, big save by Brad Guzan. The flag stayed down, but Guz makes a point-blank save. And it was right after that where Frank DeBoer made a very intelligent substitution, bringing on Franco Escobar to see the match out, because Buchanan, the rookie out of Syracuse, who is a Canadian-born player, was really causing some problems speed-wise for Atlanta United.
Yeah, he was creating problems down the right side. Escobar comes into play on the left, not what you would normally expect. But at that stage, it's not about positioning. It's about the 1v1 battles, and Escobar locked down the left side of the field.
So Atlanta United sees it out from there and gets the 2-0 victory, and they get the clean sheet. For every Atlanta United clean sheet, Atlanta United donates $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. So with tonight's clean sheet, it is a $2,000 donation to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, the annual donation total currently standing at $2,000. We're going to spend a lot of time when we come back on your questions and your feedback. Last call, get it into us now at Mike Conti 929 and at Longshoe. We will continue with the full-time report from Foxborough right after this as Atlanta United wins it 2-0 over New England on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Double entendre version of the full-time report continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Nobody had this one.
I think because a lot of people are unaware. Back in the saddle again, obviously, is Atlanta United winning tonight. Back to the Atlanta United that we know and love. That part is obvious. I think a lot of people don't know this is a New England band.
It is.
A lot of people don't know that.
Really?
I didn't know it.
Wow.
But I'm also kind of a geek when it comes to rock music.
Man,
rap is my music of choice, as you know. hip-hop, speed rap in particular.
You did know where New Edition was from, though.
Oh, yeah, no. Of course, well, like I said, hip-hop R&B.
Yeah,
that's my jam. Not necessarily Aerosmith, but regardless, Atlanta United 2-0 winners over New England Revolution tonight. And, as we all know, everything is better when Atlanta United wins, because with today's win, that's a donation of $1,000 to Piedmont Healthcare Foundation for a current total of $1,000. As a not-for-profit hospital system, Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United is proud to be a Piedmont donor. So first win of the year, the league year tonight for Atlanta United. We've gotten a lot of feedback and a lot of questions on Twitter, so let's get to it right now. We'll start with Michael Bucklew. He says, it looked like a team that had a preseason. Still some rust, but can't complain after a 2-0 win.
Yeah, had a month of preseason and a 40-minute game in Columbus in the middle of that preseason, combined with 50 minutes of a weird water polo exercise.
All right, the update on Eric Rometty from downstairs is that, as we told you, the club told us that he suffered a head injury on a challenge that came literally 30 seconds into the match when he was clattered into by Luis Caicedo from behind. He tried to play on. He was taken off. Jay Riddle brings up a question that a lot of people are asking. Should Rometty have gone back on?
It's hard to say, and this is something that Major League Soccer has to get better about with their concussion protocols, because they're not well communicated, to be honest. you could see from, if you watched the match on TV, if you've seen clips, you could see Rometty in obvious discomfort on the ground, and he took a long time to even get to a sitting position. After he walked off the field under his own power, he did jog on the sideline. He was looked at in the eyes. There was some, you know, evaluation done, and he came back in. And honestly, I didn't notice any issues once he came back into the match. He didn't look unsure of himself. There didn't, you know, you didn't see anything obvious. And then it was a play on the other side of the field that Rometty sat down, and he could not continue. It's very difficult to speculate here, and you really can't, because, you know, the word concussion gets thrown around a lot. Look, concussion symptoms can happen immediately. They can happen a week later. There's not a blueprint here for a concussion and knowing what that means and knowing how long of an absence it could be. There's no way to speculate any of that. You have to take your time, and you have to treat this correctly. It's something that the league needs to get better at. We're seeing concussion protocols in the National Football League and in other sports. It needs to be better defined, and it's an issue that's not just Major League Soccer that has an issue with it. It's soccer as a whole that has to do a better job with this.
Yeah, and I know this is an issue that you take very seriously, you having been a concussion sufferer yourself. A lot of people don't know. One of the reasons why Jason wears a Kangol, along with it being an incredibly wise fashion choice, is that as a result of your concussion, you have to be very, very careful about the amount of light that filters into your eyes. The Kangol and your glasses help you with that. But this is serious business. Taylor Twellman, I know, has brought this up as well, using a national platform. And you just hope that Eric Rometty is okay. He told a reporter downstairs that there are portions of the match that he forgot. That's very consistent with a concussion symptom.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Atlanta United's going into a stretch now where they have a lot of matches compressed. And I would be very, very surprised, based on the information we have right now, that Rometty will be back immediately for Atlanta United.
Yeah, you cannot rush him back into play, and you have to see this out. That's what's so difficult about these types of things is you never know. You never know how long it takes. You never know if all the symptoms are going to show up immediately. So you have to take your time, and right now you just have to get Eric Rometty some rest.
All right, here's a question from Mapino. Did we see DeBoer's style of play tonight? Because it seemed like more historical Atlanta United tactics.
What looked historical from Atlanta United tactics, in your opinion?
Boy, that's a good question. I mean, the result looked historical, and the number of chances looked like what we have seen. But tactically, it's hard for me to even assess what the tactics were in this match tonight, because it was a very frantic match.
You had to deal with an opponent that, you know, it's easy to say that you don't change based off the opponent, that you're a better team, so you should just play your game. You can't always do that. And against a team like New England, look, they're going to make you do some things you're not comfortable with. They are going to run four guys at you, and sometimes five, and sometimes six, in a narrow strip on the field that makes no sense. That's the way they play. They're trying to unbalance you. Atlanta United handled that really well. Second half, you know, the possession flipping, that actually says a lot about how Atlanta United played in the postseason last year,
yep,
where they didn't value possession over results, and Atlanta took care of business. I think we get really hung up on these types of questions because, you know, how different to begin with was Tata Martino's style and Frank DeBoer's style? Not that different. They have a lot of very similar touchstones in their coaching careers. You can draw parallels to things that Pep Guardiola does. You can draw parallels to things that Marcelo Bielsa does. You can draw parallels to things that Johan Cruyff did. All of those are interconnected. So for Frank DeBoer to do things in a similar way to Tata Martino, they see the game in similarly a lot of different ways on the field. So it's going to happen. That's why he was a choice to replace Tata Martino.
Joe Laszlo gives you credit, Jason, saying you nailed the buildup to this game all week. Good matchup that our talent, Atlanta United, was able to exploit. He says hopefully Atlanta United builds off this and gets the Martinezes in midseason form as well.
Yeah, you dealt with the things that New England does well. You handled those well. One shot on goal. When you're allowing one shot on goal and you're creating 19 shots going the other way, that's a good night But what Atlanta did was they took what the game gave them. And New England wanted to make it frantic, wanted to make it frenetic, back and forth, no real time on the ball. Okay, Atlanta took that, and their quality was what shined through.
Here's one from Scott. He says, Barco should be man of the match, but can we take a moment to show LGP, Miles, and Parkey some love for the way they led the defense?
Hey, don't leave Breck Shea out of that.
I agree.
Breck Shea, I thought Breck Shea was the best of the four.
I totally agree, and it goes back to a point that we had been trying to make on Soccer Down here this week on Stoppage Time Wednesday, and Jay Riddle and I have some fun with this as well. I'm a big Breck Shea fan. When Breck has fresh legs, that's what you get. He had fresh legs in Columbus, changed the match for Atlanta United. Had fresh legs against Arellano and Kennesaw. May have been the man of the match that night. Mm-hmm. A lot of men of the match that night in a 4-0 win. But I think that goes to show you something. Breck Shea was brought here to be a depth piece, not an everyday starter. With Mikey Ambrose and George Bello still out, they call upon Breck tonight, and he answers the challenge.
Well, it's a match where Breck's experience comes into play as well, because he didn't try to do too much here. He was very smart, very simple, stayed at home for the most part on the left side, because you were creating enough chances going forward. You didn't have to worry about that. So Breck was able to sit on the back line. He won the ball back when he needed to, and he got forward when he was able to.
All right, here's one from Ross, and I've seen this from a lot of people, John Fricke as well. He says, absolutely thrilled for the win and a great performance. However, are you at all concerned that more chances weren't converted? I've already responded to that tweet, by the
way. Now we're back to this.
Yeah, well, and look, you're demeaning Cody Cropper if you don't give him some credit for that, because he made one spectacular save diving to his right, three or four really good saves at point-blank range. And I think you also have to give a little bit of credit to Andrew Farrell.
Because Andrew Farrell was outstanding.
There were times where Joseph did get in behind him and Farrell was able to track back and affect the play.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's never enough, is it? You know, I mean, you're not creating enough chances. Now you're creating chances. Now it's not you're scoring enough. We've been through all this. It happens. You get games where you dominate it, but there's only a couple goals for you. You get games where you have four shots on goal and you score four times.
By the way, you know who else had trouble converting chances?
Who's that?
2018 Atlanta United.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's a complaint we heard a lot last year, and I think it worked out okay. Scott Moore, really refreshing win. This is the Atlanta United I've been waiting on. We just look comfortable. And I think we're seeing the beginnings of Barco's rise in this league. His second goal was a work of art, but it's his hustle that has the fans impressed.
You looked comfortable. You had a good game plan coming in. Frank DeBoer studied up on New England, knew exactly what to expect. The team was prepared for it. That's why you saw the lineup that you did. Look, I think the days of a steady 11 every match are gone. You're not going to see that anymore. And if you look at top teams around the world, that's the way the game's played these days. You want a roster that's deep enough to where you can mix and match based off what that match is going to present to you, either what you need to worry about from the opposition or what you can exploit about the opposition. And you're going to see games where Breck Shea plays. You're going to see games where George Bello plays when he's healthy. You're going to see games with two holding midfielders. You're going to see games with two attacking midfielders in the middle. And this was a game where you felt like you needed two holding. And Darlington Nagbe dropped in when Eric Rometty couldn't continue. That created space for Ezekiel Barco. And he came in, I think, with that chip on his shoulder.
Yep.
He wants to play 90 minutes every game, as any professional does. He wasn't in the starting lineup tonight. He brought that hunger to the field, and he played one of his best matches in an Atlanta United kit.
All right, here's one from Raji. Says, very impressed with Joseph recovering and being a point of interest to distribute. Much better showing tonight. I would just point out, we've seen Joseph do that all year.
Yeah, he has been. And that's a big part of what Frank DeBoer wants out of the number nine position. Joseph Martinez is going to get more touches. He's going to get more touches in deeper positions. He's showing his passing ability. He's creating chances for others. It's really impressive. And one more thing on Breck Shea before we finish up on the defensive side too. He led the team in possessions gained tonight. Breck Shea did the job defensively in a big way.
All right, last one from Alyssa Martin, kind of a two-parter. She says, for everyone that dogged Frank DeBoer, let's give him some credit tonight. The team looked good and prepared, even after being thrown with losing Rometty. And I think that is a really, really good point. Frank DeBoer made two very good substitutions tonight. I'm still a little bit curious why Barco was not starting tonight, that might have played into tactics or the way that, that Frank thought New England would play, but it certainly was a luxury to be able to bring him on. The Franco Escobar substitution, we've talked about it already. I mean, when Tinyon Buchanan came in and really started to create some problems for Atlanta United, immediately he brings in Escobar, plays him on the left, shut him down.
Yeah, I thought DeBoer nailed it tonight. Questions about Barco not starting. I think it was down to the way New England was going to play. Now, we don't know what the plan was at halftime or beyond that because of the Eric Rometty injury. So you have to deviate from that plan. And you were able to create a new plan on the fly, and it was effective. That's very good work from Frank DeBoer. And he nailed the sub with Escobar.
Alyssa also says, now you've got to build off this and win a couple in a row. And Atlanta United will play an FC Dallas team next week at Mercedes-Benz Stadium that won again tonight over Portland Timbers. They have won four of their first seven matches. They are a team that beat Atlanta United last year in Dallas. That was a strange match. The guy that did it to them, Tesho Ekindele, is now playing for Orlando. But nonetheless, new group, same team. We will take a look ahead at that matchup right after this on the full-time report as Atlanta United wins it tonight here in Foxborough. 2-0 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And we will be together, as we wrap up the full-time report on a getting chilly Saturday night here in Foxborough. Atlanta United 2-0 winners over New England Revolution. Every little step I take by Bobby Brown. It's
yes.
The New England connection.
Solo.
Here.
Well, you know, new addition from the Boston area.
Okay. Bobby Brown, more linked to Atlanta. With
well, that
continues
that
the double entendre.
Hit. Yeah.
Double hit.
Every little step.
Yes, and this was step one. Hopefully, there are many more to come. Now, keep in mind that Atlanta United, although ninth in the East, still has two matches in hand on some of the other teams in the conference, one match in hand on others. They need to take advantage of those, but they're going to have lots of opportunities between now and June 1st because plenty more action is to come. And a week from today, they'll be back at Mercedes-Benz Stadium to host FC Dallas. Now, Dallas is 4-2-1 in their first seven matches. They bounced back tonight by beating Portland Timbers 2-1. Portland, by the way, has been really, really struggling. Dallas, by the way, not very good on the road this year. They are 1-2-0. Reto Ziegler scored from the penalty spot tonight. And then the other goal, excuse me, came from Jesus Ferreira. So Dallas is a lot different than the team that beat Atlanta United last year on the 4th of July when they moved to the front of the Supporters' Shield table. But it's a Western Conference opponent you have to take seriously because you've had problems against them in recent years.
Yeah, Dallas has turned to the kids this season. Luchi Gonzalez, the new manager of FC Dallas, taking over for Oscar Pareja. Pareja built the academy, then became the first team manager. Luchi Gonzalez took over the academy from Pareja, so he's bringing in players that he's very familiar with to play for this first-team squad. Paxton Pomacall, Jesus Ferreira, and others. Pomacall's been their best player so far this season, but don't forget about guys like Michael Barrios. And Brian Acosta is a big addition this year. This is a very, very good team and a very good team going forward.
But I think Atlanta United is a very good team, too, and they got a chance to show their quality tonight, finally. It's been there. They just have not been getting the goals and the output and the results. Tonight they got it. Now they need to build on it. So we'll be on the air 3:30 a week from today for the Five Stripes Countdown as we're back in the bends, 4 o'clock the kickoff, and a full hour of the full-time report afterwards. It's been a fun night here in New England. Want to thank our producer, Dylan Matthews. For Jason Longshore, I'm Mike Conti. 2-0 Atlanta United over New England Revolution tonight. And we'll talk to you a week from today for the next Atlanta United match here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Horses in the bag, or stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the boosters black to match. Riding on a horse, ha, you can whip your Porsche. I've been in the valley, you ain't been up off that porch. Now, nah, can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me. You've been listening to
to MLS action of our Atlanta United. Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long.
Atlanta United are brought to you by Piedmont Quick Care. One stop to better. Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Heineken, Aaron's, the perfect choice for your budget and style with top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Scana, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. AT&T, more for your thing. That's our thing. Associated Credit Union, Equifax, proud partner of your Atlanta United and your local Ford dealer.
The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.